The Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than Him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by His multifarious energies. Sri Chaitanya Upanishad 6.8. Creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all conducted personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Vayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachana. Yet ultimately, the Lord does not need to do anything, and therefore he is nirvikara, changeless. Because everything is done under his direction, he is called Shishikarta, the master of creation. Similarly, he is the master of annihilation. When a master sits in one place, while the servants work in different duties, whatever the servants are doing is ultimately an activity of the master, although he is doing nothing. Natasya karyam karanam chavidite. The Lord's potencies are so numerous that everything is done nicely. Therefore, he is naturally still and is not directly the doer of anything in this material world. So these aspects of the Lord, these qualities of the Lord, then they become important to understand the relationship with the Lord and our position. Because the tendency is to either be all about the material energy or to completely reject the material energy, to be all about the soul, or to not know about the soul. So generally those who accept the soul reject the material phenomena. Those who accept the material phenomena avoid the soul. And then of course are those who reject both. But the actual position is one has to appreciate both. There's a difference, but they're all coming from Krishna, so they all have that relationship with Krishna. Because of this relationship, then that establishes how we're going to deal as the soul and existing within a body, how to balance that. Because yes, the soul is primary, but at the same time, it's how does the soul express itself except through the body. So one has to take care properly of the body, one has to act according to the body that you have. But that doesn't mean that it takes precedence over things of cultivating the spiritual nature that the soul has. And at the same time as then we see is that we have the position of the Lord, where he is in control of everything, but at the same time he is aloof. So he is personally taking care in that it's under his direction that's happening. But he doesn't have to personally affect it. That is done through his energies. So Krishna is both involved but not involved. And it's still all him. That's important, because then whatever we're involved in as devotees, then we understand it does have a connection with the Lord. Right? Not, it means that, of course, obviously the direct activities of hearing and chanting and that, these are directly Krishna. But it doesn't mean other activities that we do are not connected with Krishna. Because there's no such thing as this is Krishna and this is not. Everything's Krishna. So then it's a matter of whatever situation we're in and seeing it in its context connected with Krishna. But at the same time, as one must appreciate the hierarchy, that Krishna is the top, then we have, in this case, then the soul, and then after that, the body. Even though they're all connected to Krishna, you still have to be able to make the distinction. So pleasing Krishna is the first aspect. The soul developing and cultivating that relationship with Krishna to please him is the next point. And then the use of the body and engaging in Krishna's service is the third. So we have to understand that this is the hierarchy. And so appreciating that, then one can function nicely. Otherwise, if you get this wrong in the proportion and the dealings, they'll always be difficult. Like if we take something other than Krishna as the ultimate goal, there'll always be some problem. And if we don't understand the position and the relation of the soul with the body, and that the body is also connected to Krishna, that doesn't make it more important than the soul. It just means it's also. So we can't just neglect the body or not deal properly. We have to function within the context of the form that we have, because that's the facilities we have, right? You don't deal properly with your facilities, you ruin it. You have a car, you don't put petrol, you don't take care of the tires, you don't change the oil, you don't, you know, like that. Then it's going to not work. And then, because it's a car, it follows the rules of a car, right? Not that of a bicycle. You can't say, but I feel like a bicycle. It doesn't matter, you're a car. Right? So the car follows the rules of the car. Then things will work. You don't follow that, then it makes trouble. So if the car is driving in the bicycle lane, it's a problem. Right? Or, even better, on the sidewalk. So, it's a problem. So one has to see is that the, even though the body is not the important element, it's the soul serving Krishna, it's still a consideration of what you're doing. Just like when you're driving your car, you focus on that. You know, if someone is just sitting there and has the hand in the bead bag, has their eyes closed and all that, you might get worried, right? Even if you're in one of those Google cars, I'd still get worried, right? So the point is that what you're dealing with, that's what you're supposed to be functioning in. You can't say, we're not the body. Yes, of course we're not the body. That's one of the first points of spiritual life. But whose body is it? Right? It still belongs to Krishna. So since it's Krishna's body, then it'll be used according to how Krishna says the body should be used. Not how we whimsically want to deal with it. Right? Because why would we deal with it whimsically? It would be based on that we have some other idea. We wish our body was different than it was. And so therefore, we will act according to what we feel we should have as a body. So the body is still important, but not necessarily the one that you have. But it's still on the material platform. Right? It's what you have, that's what you use for Krishna. Right? If you have potatoes, you cook them like potatoes. You have spinach, you cook it like that. Right? You put spinach, put it in the stock, put it in the pot, water will come out of the spinach. So if you put the potatoes in the pot with a little salt, no water will come out. Right? So you have to function according to what you have. It's important. Why? Because it's Krishna's. It's also Brahman. It's not a more important Brahman. It's an unconscious Brahman. But it's used by the conscious Brahman in the service of the supreme conscious Brahman. Does that make sense? So it's important to know these things, otherwise you'll get distracted in our application of philosophy, saying that the material world is false. Okay, fine, if it's false, then we wouldn't be functioning within it at all. Right? We'd just be hearing and chanting. Whatever happens, that's what happens. Like the Python Sakya. And he can say the world's false, he just sits there. Right? But if we're interacting with the world and interacting however we like, we can't say the body's false. Right? We can't say the world's false. Because we're working with it how we want. So if it's false, it doesn't matter. Right? If you're dealing with something that doesn't exist, then how does it matter how you deal with it? You understand? So what's happening here is we'll use the philosophy saying that we're not the body, but at the same time we'll deal with the body how we want, not how Krishna wants, not how scripture says, not how according to tradition. You understand? So it's just another materialistic approach, it's just more karma. But you just cover it with a little philosophy and then it sounds good. You understand? I mean, technically it's called a euphemism. So generally when we say we're not this body, and then do whatever we like, not following the rules connected with the body, then that generally means it's a euphemism for I want to do whatever the hell I want. And I got philosophy to back myself up that I can do whatever I want. Right? And if you oppose it, you're opposing philosophy, and so that means you're a bad person. You understand? So, Vasudeva is trying to point out here that we have to be careful of this. It's all connected to Krishna. Krishna being non-dual, it's all Him. So therefore, it's His energy. He likes the energy to be dealt with how He likes it to be dealt with. Because when he comes to the material world, he follows the rules, and he's God. So then we would then follow that example. So we follow in the footsteps. So then that becomes the principle, is that we're starting to see everything connected to the Lord. And then according to that, then we try to function. Yes, means we're not fixed on the rules, because for us, the rules are just there to support the service to Krishna. But what we're talking about here is not the secondary rules. We're talking here the primary, just even how we're even looking at something. Because if the primary is wrong, the secondary will be wrong. But if we have, it's about pleasing Krishna, so in this situation, then this work has to be done. There's no one else to do it, so I'll do it. Like Prabhupada mentions, that, you know, the Brahmins somehow, they're busy going to, you know, IIT Bombay. You know, that's what they're doing. They're sitting in Silicon Valley. They're doing all this stuff instead of reaching Krishna consciousness. So then, yes, the Malechas and Yavanas, they're stepping forward, and they're preaching the Krishna consciousness and taking up all these political duties. But if the Brahmins would do it, then those who are not in that capacity or nature, they can step back and support. But since they're not doing it, it's emergency, so it's done. And that's fine. But if it's not emergency, and we're acting according to emergency, then that's the problem. Does that make sense? So we understand the principle. Does that make sense? So then we have to be clear that the material energy belongs to Krishna. The laws that it functions under are Krishna's laws, not our made-up laws. What we feel like rule laws, what's trending on internet laws. It's what the laws are, they're eternal. And so therefore, that's how it functions. And so then seeing that in context of Krishna, we try to see is that all this is connected to Krishna, so then why we wouldn't want to function in that capacity? If we're part and parcel of Krishna, the body is also part of his energy that's part of Krishna. So then why I wouldn't want to use all this together for Krishna? Otherwise, if I'm using it in my own way for myself, what's the difference between that and the materialist? In concept, I've connected it to Krishna, so I'll be purified. Yes, I will be elevated. But we have to understand is it won't get you prema. You'll elevate yourself. It'll free you from material contamination. But it won't get you prema. Doing things because it pleases Krishna, that gets you prema. So we have to be conscious that it's the person who's first. And then all these other things are considerations in context of the person. But otherwise, we take it, okay, the material energy, we just see it in that context. And then there's this, and then of course there's Krishna as a person. You know, of course Krishna is a person. But we see that from the Bhagavatam, that what Narad Muni then revealed to Vyasadeva is it starts with Krishna, the person. He's the person. He is performing his pastimes with his devotees and all that. And because you have so many, therefore, kinds of devotees, and you have so many kinds of the consciousness of the soul, then from there it expands out, from there out to Dwarka, there to Vaikuntha, there out to the material world. But the central point is Krishna and Vrindavan. Not here, and then Vrindavan's a long way away. No, it starts with Krishna. That's what it is. So therefore, if you want to, if it's in that context, it means everything has to be engaged according to service to Krishna and Vrindavan. So with that, then one moves forward. We see the acharyas are regularly talking about this. In any prayers, these are always brought up. About how the non-difference of Krishna and his creation. Right? And so we can say, yes, it is a fundamental point. But fundament has two aspects. In the material world, fundament means it's a basic thing. And then we get into the extrapolations and the complications that we can add on to it by our intelligence and speculation. And then that becomes something sophisticated. And that's higher. But in the Vedic, the fundaments means they don't change. They're always there. Then details come down And you can get different details in different situations, and those may change, but the fundamentals never do. So this principle that everything is connected to Krishna, and because of that being connected to Krishna, then we have to see everything in the context of serving Krishna. That then we see, that's the meaning of Krishna's non-dual. That's the meaning of everything's Krishna, and Krishna's in everything. At the same time as he's separate as a person, so everything is used in the service of Krishna as the person. Does that make sense? So it's a basic thing that we're learning when we first begin, and we'd say, oh, that's just on a lower level. And it's also the highest understanding. Because it's by realization. In other words, the one point, you can realize that at the Gita level, at the Bhagavatam level, and at the Chaitanya Charitamrita level. It's not new points. There's no new points in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Bhagavatam than in the Gita. All the philosophical points are given there. It's the ABCs. Right? When you go to university, are there more letters in the alphabet? Right? The 26, that's just for the little kids. But then when you get into secondary school, they add a few more letters. And then when you get into university, they give a few more. And then when you do postgraduate, that's when they actually give you all the letters. Right? Isn't that how it works? You ever notice that? That's why when the intellectuals and scholars speak, you can't understand what they're saying because they're using more letters. Right? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is it doesn't change, it's just a deeper understanding of what you can do with them. The same numbers, then as you advance, then you can do more with them. So the same thing is with the same fundamentals of philosophy, more is appreciated, more depth is there. It's not that there's new things, no, there's deeper and deeper of understanding. Right? That's the whole thing. So if we understand that, then those fundamental points that you learn in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, they're still used as you advance. Does that make sense? But now one has a deeper understanding of that. Right? Right? So in the beginning, okay, I'm not this body, so because of ignorance I don't engage the body, so I have to give up the ignorance and do things I don't want to do. That doesn't mean you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Right? Then, just because we come to passion, we get purified, but now it's things I want to do with this body, but I'm not supposed to do them, but someone else can do them, so I want to do them, so now I'm not the body. Right? In the beginning, we're using it for spiritual advancement, and then after we're using it for our own personal benefit. Lord of goodness is, this is what you're supposed to be doing, that's what you do. But then that's of course boring, because mode of goodness is boring, because it doesn't have any passion or ignorance to add some spice. And then there's pure goodness, which just means it's about pleasing Krishna. So, by mechanics to move yourself up, that'll be hard, and if you're having trouble with mechanics, you'll really have trouble with the mode of goodness, because you won't get any taste there. So, the point is then, if we're going to pure goodness, service to Krishna, about pleasing Him, that's where taste is, real taste. Then balance or correct or purify our lower tastes. Right? By getting a higher taste, you get the lower taste. So if we're from a background of passion and ignorance, mode of goodness doesn't have any taste. You know what I'm saying? So unless you're one of the ones that goes right out in the middle of the forest and out there and then looks around and takes that deep breath and, wow, this is fabulous, I should stay here forever, and like that, then you may not be inclined towards the mode of goodness. But even then, how long does the guy actually stay out there? Right? Does that make sense? You know, because after 3 days or 5 days, then he has to be to the pickup point so they can pick him up so he can go back to the city and, you know, write his blog. Right? So the whole thing is that there's not much of an inclination, not in the modern society. So therefore, we have to replace passion and ignorance with pure goodness, basically. But we hear about it, we try for the goodness, because that's the situation that we use. We use goodness, means it's the duties, it's the rules, we follow those rules for Krishna. Right? If I'm following because I'll get benefit from it and I'll advance, then that's Vaidhi. But when I'm doing it because it pleases Krishna, that's called rag. But this idea is no rag means I give up all rules and do whatever I want. That's not rag, that's a mode of ignorance. That's attachment. Popular, but wrong. So you have to be able to distinguish. The acharyas may go to great difficulty, great length to establish these points so that you know what is actually pure devotional service. And we don't, due to some modern kind of social construct, then come up with these all these funny things to distract ourselves from devotional service because mode of goodness is boring. Right? So makes sense. Yeah. So then Vasudeva here then is pointing out that Krishna then he himself doesn't have to do anything. Because his energies do, but that doesn't mean he's not aware of it and not in control of it. So we then ourselves in our position then see everything connected with Krishna and we're always trying to please Krishna because he is aware of what you do. Right? You have to remember, he's more omniscient than Santa Claus. But he knows everything. So he says, any questions or comments? Yes.
Yes. In Shloka, it's written on the word Nirvika, changeless. Krishna is changeless.
What does it mean, changeless? It means he's unaffected by anything because means whatever affects us is coming from him. So he, being separate from what's coming from him, is unaffected by what comes from him. Does that make sense? Krishna and his energies. So his energies come from him, so he's unaffected by that. You understand? So then that's the miracle. He's changeless. So he still remains as he is, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't interact with his energy. So the internal potency he'll interact with. The external potency he doesn't. His energies will take care of that. So then from the material point of view, the Nirakar means he's unaffected by anything material. So even though he is everything, he comes as Paramatma and enters everything, still he is a person, he is separate. So it's not just the impersonal aspect is unaffected, it means he as a person is also unaffected. So that makes sense. It's the relationship with the devotees that is interesting in why then he does different activities. But he himself is always himself. Does that make sense? So all these things are from the perspective of here. From there, he's always just engaged in his pastimes with his devotees and all that, so he's unaffected by the material world. And even if he comes to the material world, he's still unaffected because he's not the one, he doesn't deal. He's above it, and he's the source of it anyway. So, does that work? Something else, yes?
Krishna Maharaj, I heard from a devotee that Krishna doesn't see any difference between spirit and matter. Is it mentioned like this in the Shastra?
He doesn't see any difference between spirit and matter. It means it's all him, it's non-dual. But at the same time you can't tell the difference between your hand and your elbow. Right? Try to eat your patties with your elbow. It doesn't work very good. So the point is he doesn't see any difference, but on what platform? That is non-different from him. It's all his energies. And at the same time, there is difference, otherwise how do you have individuality, how you have relationships. So because the original person is where everything starts from, that means individuality is a principle that you're going to find in anything expanding from Krishna. Right? Because cause and effect. It means the nature of clay you're going to find in a clay pot. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, it's not going to change. He's an individual, therefore his expansions are individuals. He's conscious, therefore his expansions are conscious. But he's active, therefore they are. He looks for pleasure, that's why they do. So everything's non-different. So Krishna will see it in that way, and how it is him, and how it's therefore connected to him. So does that make sense?
Mentioned in the past that the Brahmins are going to summit in Bali. So the Malachas and Yavans are doing the Brahminical duties like preaching.
Yes.
But really they should be supporting. But I was just wondering, Prabhupada said that demigods are queuing up to take birth. So are they in the queue right now?
Or they're taking birth in the family of devotees. Right? They're not so much queuing up to take in the family of the Brahmin families because they don't want to end up in Silicon Valley. But it does mention, I think, I'm not sure, Bhagavatam mentions, the other Puranas mention, but the demons, they're lining up to take birth in the Brahmin families. Yeah, you know, because then they can be proud, they can be puffed up, they can try to say, I'm the best, and all that, which they want to do. And because as in their position, it may not be working out so good, so then they can come here. You know, it's like, you can't be a big guy in their society, in the Antariksha, but down here on our level, then, you know, even though you're a small demon, you're a big guy here. So the point is that you have that there are duties, one should do them. If there's an emergency, then yeah, you do whatever needs to be done. But it's not just anybody is doing it, it's someone who's taking on the brahminical qualities. But why are they having the brahminical qualities? It's because of devotion. You understand? So, which aspects are they able to do? Like you see is that all the devotees can, you can see they can preach, they can chant, they can preach, they can do kirtan, these kinds of things. And no one has a problem with that. How many can do full-time puja every day, day in, day out, no matter what? Very few. So that means the material qualities of a Brahman, not necessarily many people have, but the essential point of a Brahman, which means Krishna consciousness and hearing and chanting about Krishna, studying the scripture, teaching that to others on the transcendental platform, that so many can do. But let's say we get down to Ayurveda. How many devotees study and teach Ayurveda? Right? Not so many. And those who do, they're doing it for making a buck. Right? So is that brahminical? No. You know, it's just another way to do business. You know, just like the businessmen take over the colleges, they take over the hospitals, they take over the lawyer, law, and everything, because you make money. It's brahminical. People need it, so you're going to make money there. And the Vedic, no, that's the stuff that doesn't cost much. You know, you want to buy a diamond, that costs more. You understand? So, therefore, it's just because of these aspects that it's going on. But it's not about what's the purpose of Ayurveda, how it connects to Krishna. You want to say something that's shocking to no one else so that they're willing to pay for your seminar. But actually make it balanced and all that. And it's just like, does that make sense? You know, it's like, just for example, every traditional diet in India, right? They're all based on Ayurveda. And so for the kind of people in that locale, they have their diet. And it'll be, if you look at it, it's like 85-90% Ayurvedic recommendations. It'll never be 100%. There's no such thing. But when we take it up, it's got to be 100%. And where does that work? Right? Oh, you shouldn't eat wheat. You should only eat millet. Okay, and where do you get this milk? You know? And so then irregular eating and only eating this and that, then how is that good for health? No, regular eating is good for health. So that's the whole point, is people can regularly do that. So is anybody talking about that, just following the Indian diet, who's doing all these courses? No. It'll be something that's more akin to something they've seen on the internet. Like quinoa, that's meant for Peruvians. Believe it or not, it's their food. It's not our food. Well, it's not their food anymore, it's now because it's become international, it's too expensive for them to buy, so now they buy corn and other stuff. You understand? So, that's the whole thing, is that if you look at it, the actual rabbinical, that you're doing it because it doesn't, and that you're doing it just to, as service, that's the rabbinical thing. But if we're talking about devotional things, then that any devotee can do, because the soul, every soul is qualified for devotion. And that's the topmost position of the Brahman. So as from that position, the topmost position of the Brahman, that's why we're doing it. Otherwise, the individuals who can do and have that inherently that rabbinical nature, even if they're from a non-Brahman background, that's rare. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that then when persons who have that natural nature are doing it, then we can assist and do what we can. There'll always be the direct spiritual aspect, but these other aspects, it's not so important. You know what I'm saying? The Goswamis are writing books, they're preaching, they're teaching and all that, but they're not doing the puja in the temples. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So they're on a position that they can do that higher. They can also do the other things. Like Sanatana Goswami has his deities hanging in a tree and doing the worship. How many of us are willing to take our deity around like that? Right? So then he can do it no matter what. But then when it gets big and elaborate, then he's writing the books. So whatever's the higher thing, you do that. These other things, it's not as important. You understand? So we're either, socially we're below, but then devotionally we can be above. Does that make sense? So like that, you just have to see where it is, how it fits. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
This question is continuing on the point we just had about like charging money for Ayurveda. So devotees might think that, okay, I need to earn a living, so if I charge money for these type of things, trash, it's supposed to be for medical duties or occupations. But we also know that if we follow our duty properly, you know, dharma protects the one that's taking dharma, I think.
Yes.
We also know that God is even higher than that. Krishna will never let his devotees perish.
Yes.
So we know that we should not actually need to think in that sense. Know
yes.
that Krishna will supply us everything we need.
Yes.
That is why the leap of faith that you actually have to take.
Yes.
You just take your money and think, okay, forget about my plans. This needs to go here. Krishna will supply me in the future of divine. So then, how are we going to make that shift?
How it means the shift, but at the same time is you do have duties that you have to take care of family and this, and if you have things with the family requires, like let's say you have to pay the rent or you know, like that, or be the you know, for the dentist and all that, you don't give that money away. You understand? So when it's talking about charity, then it means what's above the standard expenses. Does that make sense? You perform your duties, you get some money, then you have to pay all your standard stuff, your rent, your this, your that, all those things like that, right? Now having paid all that, then there's a little bit left over, right? Now that's the money that then you think, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'll buy those new pair of shoes, or I'm going to buy that new, you know, hard drive, or I'm going to... That's the money that Rupa Goswami's talking about, you give 50% of that away. Not the stuff that you have to use to take care, because if you've done your duty and got money, Krishna's also given that. You understand? So you can't be giving in charity and then your family is not doing well. What it means is those extra things, like you know, going on vacation or these kind of, what is verse extra? Though it's from that money that's what's giving in charity, not from the day-to-day expenses. Right? And if someone says, oh, well then if I'm looking at it like that, I could get, you know, that better, you know, flat and the better car, and so then, you know, I'll burn up all that, so it's like that. Yes, but you still want to buy things for yourself. So now your margin's smaller. So instead of having, let's say, $100 left, you've done all these things now, and now you only have $25 left. So now, you know, $12.50, that's for charity. So you can do that, but now you only have 12 and a half to spend for yourself. It's above your regular expenses. And if by doing that, it means that you have to work more and everything like that, then what's the point? So you have to see is how much I need, how much this and that, and then find that balance. Because that's the duty, that's part of the duties. Right? At the same time, is one has to know, like you're saying, that Krishna's going to take care of all that. But it doesn't mean he doesn't give the duties so you can take care. Right? And if someone can just be absorbed in direct service all day, like temple service and all that, then that's nice. And then it's just whatever comes along. But it's just whatever you'll get, that's what you'll have. If we want more than that, then that's where you have to have an occupation. Does that make sense? Yeah, so if people want more money and that they just want to be a pujari, then they have to know that they have to go out to work. Or to be satisfied with whatever comes with that. They'll give you a place, they'll give you a prasad, a little bit of something, and that's what you get. That's brahminical life. It's just whatever comes. Does that make sense? So you just have to see where's the balance in that for yourself as an individual in your family. So it has to be based on what you're talking about is that faith that Krishna is going to take care. And so then find that balance where it looks like it'll work. And then run it. And then if you find you have more than you need, then you can do other things. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to use the intelligence. So it's not just, it's not a sentimental faith. You're also using intelligence, buddhi yoga, the yoga of intelligence. And so then, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have a question more practical. I just wanted to know if you can eat millet on Ekadashi.
Can you eat millet on Ekadashi?
Yes.
No.
No. Thank you very much.
You can eat quinoa. Whether you want to is another thing, but you can.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, this question is about the sufferings and how to deal with it.
How to deal with the sufferings.
Yeah, when you say it is all energy of the, everything is the energy of Krishna.
Right.
The body is also energy of, everything is energy of Krishna. So how to deal with sufferings in relation to energy of Krishna?
How to deal with sufferings in relationship. But why are the sufferings there?
Yes, yes.
But why are they there?
Karma. Previous karma.
Okay, and why is the previous karma there?
Our activities.
And why did you do those previous activities that got you into trouble now? Right. And so if we're not thinking of Krishna and doing an activity, what's our purpose in that activity? Right? It's some material attachment. So miseries come from attachment. There's no attachment, there's no misery. Right? If I take someone else's, you know, head shoe and throw it out the window, you might laugh. Right? If I take your shoe and throw it out the window, you won't laugh. What's the difference? They're both shoes. Right? It's because of attachment. So suffering comes from attachment. That's why if everything's connected to Krishna, then those effects will be less. Because then we see a connection to Krishna. And we get purified to the point where we're just using Krishna's service. It doesn't mean the situations aren't sometimes nicer and sometimes not. But if we're not attached to it, it's got to be nicer, then why would we be upset? Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to appreciate that it comes from there. So any problems we have come from ourselves, not from something else. I mean, they come through the form. The adhyatmika comes from our body and mind because we've misused that. Adibhautika comes from that because we've misused that. And the adhyatmika comes from because we've misused that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you,
ma'am. Okay. Anything else? Retrolakshmi Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivinda ki, Taitaya Gaurav ki.